Greetings, great ones. It's great to see you. It's great to be with you on this podcast. What do you think, Bo?
What's up, guys? Bo Bracken here, Sam's co-host.
We're co-host. You'll notice we're sporting these killer Living With Guts
shirts. Living With Guts, baby.
Yep.
Let's go.
Breakthrough right here.
Breakthrough.
Guts. Yeah. Bo has charcoal gray. I have black. We have them available in green and white and orange.
Yes.
All manner of colors, but if you want to get a Living With Guts shirt, just
hit us up.
Shout out to us. I think we're selling them for $25 or something.
Yeah.
Whatever. So that's all good. We're so grateful to spend some time with you today. We thought it would be really good to take some time to talk about the things that get in the way of change, the barriers that get in the way of change. I read a book years ago by Alan Deutschman, and in that book he cites some statistics that said even when faced with death, only 1 in 9 people change. Can you imagine that, Bo?
1 in 9 people. I can actually, I know that's true because I've seen it. I've seen it in my life. I've seen multiple people faced with serious situations that they don't even change because of multiple reasons that we're about to go into.
But, right.
You know, yeah. Fear and complacency.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. So if you don't stop drinking, you'll die. If you don't lose weight, you'll die. If you don't stop, and you know, and it's funny because a lot of times people don't understand. Most of the time, we're perfectly aligned to get the results we have in our life based on our behavior. If you want some kind of different result, what do we have to do?
Change.
We have to change our behavior.
And you said most of the time. I would rephrase that and say all of the time.
Okay. I'm just giving some.
We're always perfectly aligned to get the results that we deserve and that we're in. That
yeah, I'm giving some people a break because misfortune happens to
misfortune
people.
Misfortune does happen.
But. But generally, we're aligned to get the results we have, right?
Yeah.
So how do we embark in this journey of change and becoming our best self? Well, the first thing is to understand the barriers that get in the way of change. So the first thing that gets in the way of change is a stuck mindset. We just simply see no need to change. We're strangely comfortable with however strange things are, or however, you know, however normal they are, right? However good they are or however bad they are. My mother, bless her soul, she's just an awesome person. I love her with all my heart. But she was a hoarder. She was a hoarder. And there's just stacks of crap everywhere. When I was growing up, there's piles of crap everywhere. It drove me nuts. But she was strangely comfortable with that. How does that affect me today,
Bo? Well, now he's terrible. If there's like 3 things out of the ordinary, he's like, gotta clean it up. I can't handle it.
Yeah, like I throw everything away. On the pile. If I see a pile, I throw it away because it drives me nuts. But my point here is that oftentimes when we live in the comfort zone, it's a real dangerous place. Because if you always do, I used to work for Shaw Industries, and Bob Shaw, the founder of Shaw Industries, used to say, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you always got, right? And I believe that. Actually, I believe a little different. I believe if you always do what you've always done, you'll get less than you always got, because the world is changing and you'll be left behind. You know, that idea. So, one of the things that gets in the way, that first thing that gets in the way of change is just really the comfort zone. And Bo, what do you think helps us overcome that?
Well, that comfort zone thing I think is kind of close to my heart because I've been there a lot. And that's probably the first, I say that's kind of the area of breakthrough with a lot of people. If they right. can get over the comfort zone, that's where they start to see change. In our last podcast, we talked about igniting desire. This is kind of that same spot. This is where you create a bold vision. So if you don't want to be stuck, if you want to stop being complacent, you need to have a bold vision for the future. What I mean by that is you got to know what you want to do, what you want to accomplish, what you want to change in this world. And I'll let you know right now, if it's all about money, you might not make it to where you want to go.
Well, I mean,
money's important.
Money's important.
But
what's your great contribution going to be?
Exactly.
When you're dead and gone, and you know, in a tombstone, you have the year you're born, and then you have the year you die, and then there's a dash in the middle.
And what does that say?
Yeah, exactly. What does that dash really mean? what do you want that dash to stand for?
You always tell me, like, just when you're toasting at your 90th birthday party, what does that toast to? To the man that changed the world, that gave it his all. It was a good man, a father, and all these great things. Or he was the CEO. He was awesome.
Well, yeah. Right? How about he was the CEO and he was a great guy, a great character, had a lot of money, and he did everything.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
He was a great father.
Exactly.
And he was these things. But sometimes we don't understand that great contribution, great achievement just doesn't spring up on its own, right? You have to put it in motion. You know, you have to put it in motion and you have to do things differently. But that first thing, that stuck mindset, living in the comfort zone, can really get you. But having a bold vision can really help.
Bold vision gets you out. Bold vision, at least it starts the process, right?
Right.
And you, with me, a lot of the times, you guys got to understand, like, living with Sam is the craziest thing ever, because I remember when I was 8 years old, we had a vision board, when I was 8 years old, and I'm serious, like, I remember that every new year, every football season, Sam would bring me down in his office, and we'd print out a plan of my goals, and what I wanted to do, and my vision, and that has always helped me get out of an unstuck mindset. And I know it sounds dumb. It doesn't sound dumb, but it sounds so simple. But it's this first step, I believe, in what gets in the way of change.
Yeah.
Is that first thing to go
right
through.
Yeah, that's good. Good, Bo. Second thing that gets in the way of change, I think, is just simply being overwhelmed. You know, think about all the things you got to change in yourself. Oh, good grief. You know, I got to lose weight. I gotta look better. I gotta be smart.
We both gotta lose weight.
I gotta make, yeah, and we are, by the way.
We are. We're losing weight.
We hired
weight.
A trainer, Stacy Wagner.
Stacy
trainer,
Wagner, he's
and
freaking
he's
getting
kicking
us
our
shape.
Bootay. Boom! Boom! He's gonna help us get some, you know, muscle. But he's killing us. But anyway, we get overwhelmed with change because there's only so much load you can carry in your brain. And this idea of multitasking is bull crap. What in reality happens is that we rapid single task, and we think that that's multitasking. All you have to ask yourself is, can you text and drive with excellence? And the answer is no, you cannot. You will kill somebody.
You will.
And yourself, right? So this idea of getting overwhelmed is the other thing. We just, there's too many things to change. We live in the fog. You know, we don't know which one to prioritize or to pick. And Bo, what do you do when that happens?
Simply, might not be so simple, but you narrow the focus.
Tell me what that means.
So narrowing the focus is sometimes leaving the fluff behind and picking that one or two most important things in the situation and driving the home, going right for them. So this happens a lot of the time. We, on another podcast, The Struggle of Startup by Chase Hoskins and Cameron Hoskins, we talked about something similar with small businesses. What will happen is they'll get overwhelmed with multiple things and they don't focus on one thing and then they fail.
Right.
Right. And to succeed in life and in business and wherever you are, you focus on that one thing. So I'm overweight. I need to do all this stuff in school. I need to work, blah, 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 blah. Let's pick one thing.
Let's pick one thing
and let's become excellent at it and let's move to the next.
Right, right.
I don't know. What do you think? Does that make a difference?
Makes a difference. I mean, science tells us that as we focus on one thing with excellence, the likelihood of that happening is much higher. 10 goals is no goals. You know, the likelihood of you accomplishing a goal, if you just have one major goal, is much higher.
I always tell people this and they don't get it. They don't believe me. Like, not that I have these amazing credentials like Sam, but I know what the hell I'm talking about.
Right.
Like, people will show me, I want to get this done, this done, this done, this done, and I'll even catch myself writing all these things that I want to get done, which is great, but then I'm like, I need to get this done, this one thing, today.
Right, today.
Right now.
I love people like, I'm going to get this done, that,
this, 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 this,
and I'm looking at them like,
oh,
yeah.
Shit.
I'm like, that ain't going to happen. There's no way in hell all that's going to happen unless you structure it, unless you narrow, unless you do one thing at a time.
They can get it done, but in a timely manner, in a different way, in focusing on each individual step, I believe.
Right, so. That's exactly right. So, so once you understand that it's natural to be overwhelmed, and when you narrow the focus on the highest priorities, I like to say, you look for leverage. Out of all the things you can do, what's the one or two things that are going to make the biggest difference in your life?
Exactly.
Where's the leverage?
Well, it goes back to having a bold vision. So if I have all these things, and my bold vision is to lose 40 pounds, and over here is a project that I have to do, and it's not so important, I need to kind of shun that to the side for a sec and focus on working out for the moment, right? It's like what your focus, narrowing the focus needs to be with that end goal in mind.
What's gonna give you the leverage to accomplish the goal?
That goal.
The bold vision is your sort of your long view. What's the big what?
Yeah.
And narrowing the focus is the antidote for getting overwhelmed.
Yeah.
The third thing that gets in the way of change is most people don't understand that change itself is not an event; it's a process. You know, I'd like to go over to Bo and say, demons out, right? And like, you're better. Well, it doesn't work that way. I mean, not to make light of evangelical movements or whatever, because we're a faith-based family, but even if you have a transcendental religious experience, it's still going to take time to become a person of faith, right? So change takes time. It's a process, and it requires course correction. You know, I fly all the time. And if I'm leaving Salt Lake City and go to Atlanta, it takes 3.5 hours. And as soon as we take off, before we take off, the pilot has a flight plan. And as soon as we take off, that flight plan starts to change based on the weather, based on circumstances. That flight plan changes because if that pilot doesn't use his technology and other things to constantly course correct the whole way, at the end of a 3.5 hour flight, you won't be in Atlanta, you'll be in Manhattan. You'll totally be in a destination that you had no idea you'd be there, but it's because you failed to course correct. So understanding that change is a process is really, really important. So what do you think requires living your life with process, Bo?
Well, it takes discipline.
Well, tell me more about that. What do you mean?
Well, what I mean by discipline is this is one thing that I do know what the hell I'm talking about, is course correcting and having discipline.
Tell us more.
So I will tell you, in the course of 10 years, I have course corrected my life goal 100 times. And it is not the easiest thing to do. It is not the funnest thing to do. Sometimes it's not necessary. Sometimes it is necessary. But being disciplined in that and constantly course correcting and making adjustments to get to the end goal will produce positive results. So what I mean by that is I wanted to be an astronaut. I know it sounds dumb, but like when I was 8 years old, okay? And then by the time I was 13 years old, I was too big to be in a fighter jet pilot. I'm 6'3", 6'4", like I'm huge. Right, and so I course corrected. And I know it's simple and it's funny, but then I shifted. And then I wanted to be a physical therapist, and then some different things happened. And then I wanted to be a doctor, and some different things happened. And I wanted to be a trainer at one point, and some different things happened. And I've because of misfortune, because of blessings, because of different things in
obstacles,
my life, obstacles. Or blessings, I've changed and I've course corrected. Now here's the thing. I'm not the most disciplined person, but if I had given up and not had discipline, I would be sitting in a gutter by myself with no one.
Right. Discipline matters.
I would be alone.
Right.
But because I chose to because I chose to course correct, I didn't end up in Manhattan.
Right.
I ended up at the destination.
Right.
Right. And that's the thing, is there is no final destination. we're constantly course correcting and enjoying the journey of life.
Right, right, right. So I think when you understand that change is a process, you need to think through that. You need to have disciplined thoughts, disciplined action, and follow a disciplined process. And what that does, it produces change over time. And as you course correct over time, you get huge, huge different changes, right?
Just remember, course correct.
Course correct. Otherwise, you'll end up in Manhattan instead of Atlanta, right?
Manhattan's great, but if you're not, you're trying to go.
So if you're on a diet and you eat, do really good all day, at the end of the day, you have 4 cookies and you fail to stop eating 4 cookies every day, guess what? You're not going to lose weight. Because the 4 cookies have a quadrillion tons of sugar in it. You're going to be like a fat pig. Right? So this is the idea, right? The fourth thing that gets in the way of change is this idea or notion of having a purpose or having meaning. This is quite possibly the most important thing when it comes to your journey of change and to become your best self, is to have a compelling motivation, a reason, or a purpose to change. Because without a purpose, you simply won't change. What do you think of that, Bo?
I know it to be true. I know that it's not always easy. Like, I know we tell you guys these things, you know, have purpose. Well, how do I do that? Well, this is how you do it. You ponder, you think, you search, you're actively engaged in looking for what brings you peace and joy and happiness and love in this world. It's not, what we mean by purpose is not, in my personal opinion, I don't believe it's monetary or tangible to an extent. It's something different. It's something more along the lines of freedom and love and acceptance and beauty and things that are on a higher plane, or at least in my life, purpose is that. So what is that fuel behind? What's driving me? If you don't have a drive, if you don't have fuel, the car's not going.
Right. Right. You need to have the why. So it's great exactly. to have goals, but if you don't have a why, you just don't. You don't have the fuel. Right. It's great if I want to become, you know, a prolific author, thought leader, you know, motivational speaker, producer, and positively affecting the lives of millions of people, which is my long view. Right. Mm-hmm. If I don't have a reason to do that or a purpose, which is to help people unlock their own passion to change, learn and grow, regardless of their situation, and to help them be closer to light, love, and happiness. That's my purpose. Mm-hmm. That acts as a fuel. Mm-hmm. So I'm constantly doing things that I wouldn't normally do, because that's really what gives me meaning. Exactly. Makes me happy. I love to do it. It's my great contribution. It's the big why behind the what.
You know when you're staying up till 1 a.m. doing something, you don't even know what time it is. Maybe you have some fuel towards it. And an example you used another time that really impacted me was, you know, if someone came up to you and was robbing you, and you know they had a knife and they said, "Give me all your money." Right? Yeah. That situation, you know, you'd probably give me your money.
Yeah.
But if they came up to you in this situation, in another situation, and you had your child with you,
right?
And they said, "Give me your child."
Oh, hell no.
What are you going to do?
Oh, hell no.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to do whatever I got.
You're going to fight like hell, whether you get stabbed, whether whatever happens to you, to protect your son or daughter,
right?
And you will do it at any cost. Why? Why?
Because you have a reason to do it.
Because you have a reason.
You have purpose. Love,
purpose. Yeah. You have purpose behind it. So just think of that. Think of that. When you are ready to protect whatever your idea is with your very life, then it's a good idea.
You have a purpose. But I like to say, there's power in purpose, right? So that's so not having a purpose, not having meaning, not having motivation, that's the fourth thing. The final thing that gets in the way of change is a lack of love and accountability from people that can support you in your dreams and your objectives, right? And I'm not talking about like riding someone's ass. You know, I'm talking about purely loving somebody enough to surround yourself with positive, powerful people that love you enough to hold you accountable. What do you think of that, Bo?
So what we use in this house, and we use a lot of football references, but it makes sense. And if you don't know football, you're about to learn a little bit, is the huddle, right? The football huddle, right? Or the life huddle.
Right.
In the football huddle, it does not matter who you are, what religion you are, what race, what ethnicity, what background, gay or straight or this or that or big or small. If you look in a huddle, look, just watch a football game. Look
totally
at the
huddle. Different
people. There's different people in there. There's guys that weigh 300 pounds. There's guys that weigh a buck 50, right?
Right.
And in there, but guess what? Does it matter?
Yeah, because if you had everybody the same, you'd suck.
Exactly. It does matter, but does it matter that everyone's different? No, because guess what? They play off each other's weaknesses and strengths to one common goal.
Right.
Right?
They put their differences aside for the big goal.
Exactly.
Which is to win.
Exactly. Right? To win, right? So, that's a football reference, but that use that in your life. Huddle. Who's in your huddle, Sam? Who's in your huddle that is helping you get to the goal, right? And who's in your huddle that's maybe letting a guy through the line and maybe sucking a little bit and keeping you from the goal, right?
Sometimes people closest to you are really sabotaging your life, you know? But in really good huddles, accountability is key. And if someone's sucking, they get out of the huddle and they're replaced with someone new in the huddle. So one of the ways you can surround yourself with powerful, positive people is to really purposely build your huddle. Now, you can have a school huddle, you can have a sports huddle,
family huddle,
you can have a church huddle, a spiritual huddle. You know, you have different huddles for different purposes. But it's the group that can help us accomplish great things. We were never meant to go through this life completely, utterly alone, because it would really suck, right? We need each other. We need the huddle. We need diversity. We need people to think differently so that we can get better.
It strengthens you or it weakens you, depending on who you're with. And one thing I want to make clear is a lot of the times you don't have to get rid of someone, but you got to bench them.
Yeah, right? Maybe put them in timeout.
Exactly. Put them in timeout or bench them just for a little while, because I can tell you firsthand, when the first time you do that and you start changing and you hang around different people, you will be empowered.
Yeah.
You will. I'm experiencing this now. I was not doing the best. I was suffering. I was stressed out, and I got a different job. Started hanging out with guys that love to have fun and make money, and I started hanging out with my father, and he's a champion, and he wants to be better and change the world. So guess what I want to do? Be a champion and change the world.
Right, right.
Because I hang out with people like that.
We say,
instead of losers.
Exactly. I love your passion around this.
I'm sorry. It's
good.
True.
If you hang around a bunch of turds, you're going to stink like shit. That's basically it. You know. So hang around great people and you'll get
be
better.
Great.
You're going to be better.
You become the three to five people you hang around with.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
So are your friends bringing you, is your huddle demanding the most out of you? And that's what happens.
Yeah.
That's what happens to make you a better person. So today we've reviewed what gets in the way of change. Stuck mindset, being overwhelmed, understanding that change is a process, not an event, having the right motivation and purpose, and then finally surrounding yourself with powerful, positive people that we call your huddle, right? Right, and those things get in the way of change. Now, what inspires change? Well, bold vision inspires change, right? The next thing that inspires change is narrowing the focus, finding leverage, doing the most important things, landing one goal at a time, one plane at a time, and making progress that way. The next thing that helps you get through all that is to have a discipline action, discipline thought, and discipline process.
Course correct.
And course correct all the time. Have that discipline to course correct. Finally, next to last is this idea of having purpose and meaning, compelling motivation to change, and then finally, having people that help you be your best self. That all, when you understand those things, 1 in 9 goes out the window, and it can be 10 out of 10.
You will.
You can be the best person you can be.
You will change. And I have to put these things into my life, and Sam has to put them into his, and you all can do it. And that's the thing, is I dare you. I dare you. Go out and try it. Just pick something small. Go out and try it. And do that one thing. Just make one leap, make one change, break through one barrier through the steps that we've told you today, and see how it works, and then put it in your
whole life. Breakthrough. Breakthrough.
Breakthrough the struggle.
Breakthrough,
baby.
Breakthrough. We like to say, be that one to change. And once you change yourself, be that one to help just one. Right? So once you learn all this great stuff, you apply it in your life, teach it to someone else, pay it forward, right? And that when you do that, guess what happens? You're living with guts.
You're living with guts.
So thanks for living with passion. Yeah, living with passion, unlocking your passion, finding your greatness, whatever the hell you want to call it. You're rocking the free world, right?
You're kicking
we love you guys, and don't we forget to order your
living with guts, baby.
Yeah, it's awesome. Have a great day.
We love you guys.
Later. Peace out. Boom.